Hey, this is Jeff Floyd, pastor of C3 Church Bathurst, and this is our podcast. Thank you for joining us today. C3 Bathurst brings life to people by helping them to be revived, restored, and released through getting to know Jesus and his people. We hope that this message will bring you life today. How are we doing this morning? Frosty, foggy start to Bathurst, which is beautiful, of course, in its own special way. Next weekend is going to be a heap of fun. We're even rolling out the coffee machine. Did you see that walking in there? And firing that up, and food will start to flow again. And, you know, all in COVID-safe way, of course. But it's really important that we just find our rhythm in how we do church in this new season. And I think we're doing such a great job as a church. People are so adaptable and flexible, and, you know, I know restrictions have kind of tightened in a little bit and people are going, oh, no. But you know what? We'll just keep doing what we have to do. But you can't stop the church. And I love this season that we're in of innovation and including so many people that maybe couldn't physically be in a room together. It's such an exciting time to do church. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you are God. You're not just a good teacher. You're more than an influential thinker. But you are God himself. And Lord Jesus, thank you for your authority and your power and your freedom as we taste that a little this morning. Thank you for this word. Open it to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're starting a series, or in the middle of a series, sorry, called A Fresh Start, which is a great season for our church. We're in a fresh start. We're in a new beginning. And so many people are in a fresh start in their own world, trying to navigate what that's like in their own business world or student life or whatever you're doing. It's an interesting season to be doing life. And today's message is about change, and changing the impossible me. I know that there's lots of things that we'd love to change. We love to change things. In fact, we love the idea of change as people. You know, there's books and movies written about change. We love the idea of adapting and being flexible. There's institutions that have given themselves to change, that to shift things, whether it's politically or environmentally or educational or every sphere. We love change and innovation. Churches love change. We love doing things differently and trying new things. You know, new model cars come out all the time. It'd be dull if, you know, 20 years on, you'd still have the same model car for sale. You know, we like the constant innovations in building and in homes. Things change. But I've found the toughest thing to change in life is the human heart. We can change lots and we can do lots. But actually, in Jeremiah 17:9, it says that the heart is deceitful above all else. Who can understand it? And you might be thinking, that makes sense for my own heart. I don't understand my own heart. How can I understand me? I've tried things. I've tried changing. And that's why there's so many books written on dieting, isn't there? You know, the latest diet fad, try this, do that. And we all buy the books and we try it. And then 2 weeks later, I'm not sure about this one. Or exercise regimes. How many exercise regimes have you looked at or tried out online? Or I know I've tried a couple. Still trialing. I think, maybe this one will work for me. But there's something about change in the human heart that's difficult. And I wonder why that is. Because deep down inside of us, we long for change. Let me tell you the how this morning. If you're looking for real, lasting change and the power to change things on the inside of you, well, you've come to the right place or the right website this morning. Come with me to Titus. It's a book in the New Testament. It's a book written by Paul, who is the church planter, the apostle we call him, who started all these churches throughout the world after Jesus died. And then he starts writing back to his friends. And Titus was one of Paul's friends. He was a co-worker, someone who did life with Paul. And Titus was in charge of sort of setting up teams of people in some of the churches that were started by Paul. That's what Titus did. And Paul writes to him to encourage him to sort of do the right thing and keep going, Titus. But in the middle of the book of Titus, which is only a very short book, we get to chapter 3 in verse 3, and Paul is talking to Titus about change. And in here is some absolute gold on how to change. He says this, we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. Now, that might not be the complete you, but Paul is owning that as himself and Titus. He says, you know what, buddy? We were like this before. He says we were foolish. We were disobedient. We didn't like following instructions. We were led astray by all kinds of people and ideologies and things. And we were enslaved to various types of passions. The things that we gave ourselves to trapped us. And you might have experienced that in your own world, that as you explore things, sometimes they can trap you. I was trying to explain to my guys the other day about nicotine and why people smoke. It wasn't that they loved smoking. It was the addiction of the nicotine, that these things can trap you and enslave you into some kind of habit. It says that we can pass our days in malice and envy and doing things that out of spite and jealousy. You might have experienced some of these things, and maybe people even hated you for something, and maybe you found yourself in hate. These are the things we want to change from. And Paul is just owning it and says, yep, that was me. I was in that space needing real change. But something happened to cause dramatic change in Paul's life. He says, but, verse 4, but when the goodness and the loving kindness of God, our Savior, appeared, He saved us. Not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy. Oh. See, He, when the goodness of God appeared, that's when Jesus came. It says that He saved us. We didn't have to do anything. We didn't have to try harder. He says it wasn't because of our good works or because we were trying so hard or because we were doing things. It wasn't because of that. It's because His life did something in us. And here's three things that Paul experienced that gave him real lifelong change. Here's the first one. He says it was by the washing of regeneration. The renewal of the Holy Spirit is the second one. And the third one is in verse 7, we became heirs according to the hope of eternal life. You think, what does that mean? I want to unpack these things in a moment. But it says here that we are able then to devote ourselves to good works because of that change. So let's go through that washing of regeneration. Well, what does that mean? You know, that sounds like some sort of washing detergent, doesn't it? Regeneration. Can you imagine that? Putting that in your washing machine. Hopefully some of your clothes will come out cleaner than they were ever when they've started. Well, what it means is rebirth, new birth. That word regeneration means to start again. I love traveling through the Australian bush. I love camping. I love being outside. And what is stunning at the moment, if you drive from here to Sydney, both roads, you will see regeneration. There was absolute devastation 6 months ago. Absolute horrendous fires. How quickly does our world change? And the horrifying fires that came right through the Blue Mountains. And 6 months ago, those trees were black. There wasn't a sign of life in there. Now, if you drive through, how amazing is it to see green shoots everywhere? Like eucalyptus trees are the most incredible things. Epicormic growth all the way up the side. Just, they look like they need a big shave, you know, they're kind of hairy. But it's just the most beautiful sight, fresh green leaves. That's what that word means. It means to be made new, that new birth comes out. And this is this idea that God takes what is old and broken and maybe burnt out, and he replaces it with something brand new. It's such a picture for us. That's what happens when we have this thing called regeneration or being born again. I preached on that two weeks ago. And if we dive back to the Old Testament, there's a prophet called Ezekiel who lived, you know, 500 years or so before Jesus. And he talked about and he prophesied a time coming when Jesus would come and give us a new start, because it was so hard before Jesus. All we had to do was rely on us being good. Has anybody ever tried that and failed? Like, I'll just try harder this time. I know I got it wrong there, but I'll just have another go. You will find that sort of change is not necessarily long-lasting. You might be super motivated or super strict with yourself, but eventually we will reach the limit of humanity. But Ezekiel said this way back, speaking of Jesus to come. He says, I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I'll put within you. And I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. You see, without Jesus on the inside, hearts are kind of like stone. They're kind of stiff and hard and not very nice sometimes. What Ezekiel's talking about is Jesus will come and he'll actually do a heart exchange. He'll take out the heart that's cold and stony. And even if you're probably a very nice person, probably nicer than I've ever been, you find that there's a limit, and you get to a point where you just grit it in. You know, that's the heart of stone inside. But Jesus says, I'm going to take that out, and I'll swap it. I'll give you a really soft heart, a heart that has compassion, a heart that loves, a heart that has just the ability to be warm. It's a good deal, a brand new heart. And that's the basis for all human change. Without this heart exchange going on, then it's just going to be hard work. With this new heart, it's like you've got a brand new motor on the inside of you. You've got something that's new and ticking and has life inside of it. And then he says in verse 27, I will put my spirit within you. Not only will I give you a new heart, but I'll put my Holy Spirit inside of you and cause you to walk in my statutes, my laws, my ways. And you shall dwell in the land I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I shall be your God. It's the most amazing, we call it the new covenant, this prophecy that's saying when Jesus comes, he's going to give you a new heart, and he'll give us the Holy Spirit to help us to walk out that which we long to do. I got to tell you, when I got born again, I was about 22 years old. I'd been in church all my life. And I thought I just had to be good. I really did. That's the message that I kind of grew up with in church, as you do. I just got to be a good person. But I realized that I couldn't. You know how you think you're good and then you're not? You think, I'm not like those other people. I'm not, you know, murdering people or robbing people or, you know, doing nasty things. So I'm pretty good. But then I discovered that I wasn't. And that some of the desires that I had, the things I wanted to do, really didn't match up with what God wanted me to do. And I had to wrestle. And I go, I do not have the power to do what I feel like God wants me to do. That's what brought me undone as a person. I give up. At that point, God goes, thank you. I can work with that. I can work with someone who just gives up on their own efforts. And God says, I will come and help you and give you a new heart. And I just simply said to Jesus, I'm done. I don't know how to do this anymore, but I know that you've got the answers. So can you come inside of me, give me a new start, and then I will be free. And I tell you, it was more than half my lifetime ago. Decade ago. And I tell you, this new heart works. It really, really works. Sure, we have ups and downs, and sure, we have kind of moments of wrestle, but overall, I've got this sense on the inside of me that God is with me always and helps me to do what I know that He wants me to do. It's such freedom. So the idea of being born again, or regeneration, Paul talks about it here, is that we get a brand new beginning, a brand new heart. And just picture that like those beautiful gum trees, full of green, ready to flourish. But I found that a one-off regeneration wasn't enough. I needed something to sustain me so that I could change, because there's always things that you want to change. Like even now, I thought I was doing so well 20 years ago, that I'm pretty good now. The older I get, the more I realize just how much there is inside of me that needs to change. You know, I think, oh, will I ever get there, Lord? Will I ever make it? And God says, no, that's why I died for you. But I found that the renewal, this is what Paul says in Titus. He says the washing of regeneration was the first one. And then he says the renewal of the Holy Spirit. See, the washing of regeneration, new birth, gives us a new heart. It's the starting point. But then he says, I'm going to renew you by the Holy Spirit and give you the fuel to live with your new desires. Because you can have, you know, you can have all the best intentions in the world, but if you don't have the power or the ability to carry out your intentions, then you're just going to be frustrated. That's what the Holy Spirit comes to give us. He gives us the power to live out according to the ways of God. And deep down, all of us want that. Deep down, we all want to follow God's ways because they are the best ways to live. Because life just works when we're following God's ways. It just does. Your families are better. Your marriages are better. Your business life is better. Your study ethic is better. Things just work better when you do it according to God's ways. Your life is richer and more blessed. And you achieve that through the renewal of the Holy Spirit. This is what happened to Zacchaeus. Do you know the story of Zacchaeus? He's the short guy. And when Jesus was coming to town, he could hear the entourage. You know, Jesus was surrounded by people. This is Luke 19. And all these people are coming here. And Zacchaeus is short. So he goes, I know there's a tree. If I climb that tree, I'll be able to see and actually get an eye view of Jesus, because otherwise I'm not going to get anywhere. There's too many crowds, too many people. So it's a funny story. So he climbs a tree and gets a great look of Jesus, except he didn't reckon on one thing. As this whole crowd, Jesus and his disciples and all the multitudes of people following, walking, stop. Hey, Zacchaeus. I mean, if I was Zacchaeus, I would have just fallen out of the tree. You know, oh, he spotted me. And what's so funny is that he says, hey, Zacchaeus, just come down. And he says, Zacchaeus, I want to stay at your house tonight. That's odd, isn't it? Now, Zacchaeus, he's a Jew. He's one of God's people, his nation. But Zacchaeus is kind of backslidden. He's a tax collector and he's kind of earning quite a bit on the side, thank you very much, defrauding the Jews of some, you know, good money. And so he's not very well regarded at all by his Jewish compatriots. But doesn't bother to Jesus. He says, hey, Zacchaeus, can I stay at your place tonight? And let's pick up the story in Luke 19:5. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried and came down from the tree and received him joyfully. Now that, when it says received him joyfully, it actually means he accepted Jesus into his heart. Like, not just, hey, come into my house, but come into my whole heart. Because we know that because a whole transformation takes place here. There's a regeneration that's going on right at that point in time. And when they saw it, these are all the religious policemen, Pharisees. They go, Jesus, hang on, Jesus, Don't you know who this guy is? Don't you know that he's unclean? Don't you know that you shouldn't be eating with this guy? But Jesus says, I've gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, he said, behold, this is evidence of change, right? Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I've defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. Which means that if I've robbed someone of $10, I'm going to track them down and give them $40. If I've stolen $100, I'm going to track them down and give them $400. That's change. From someone who was robbing people and tight with people, he's completely transformed by the power of God. And through the Holy Spirit, he's starting to change, you see. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. It's such an awesome story. Now, I don't know where you're at or what, you know, you've probably experienced this yourself, but when you receive Jesus, sometimes you'll just feel like, oh, that's right. I wish that I could do that or change that. And it's through God's power. It's through the power of the Holy Spirit living inside of you. You can actually do stuff like that, like forgive people or give money back to people or treat people with kindness and generosity. It's only through his power, it's only through the encounter with Jesus that you can really change on the inside. Because once the inside has changed, everything flows out. And that's the problem with the motivational movement. We've got to try harder or do more or think better. And all these are good things, but they never touch the heart. It's like patching up an old wound. It's like putting a new dressing on. And it'll be fine. But a week later, if something's festering underneath still, it doesn't matter how many dressings you put on that wound. It'll still be there. No, you need a new heart. And when that new heart comes, then real change can happen. It might be at a slower pace than you like, but it starts to shift. And you then find yourself in a new freedom because what's going on the inside of you is the same as what's on the outside of you. So change happens on the inside out, not the outside in. You have a new heart. And the third one that Titus talks about is knowing your position. Because he says you are heirs. He says you ought to understand that you are heirs of all things. When you've received Jesus, you've been regenerated. When you've been renewed by the Holy Spirit, you are then heirs. That word heir, we don't so much talk about today. You know, none of us are probably royalty. Maybe you are. Maybe you're going to inherit some incredible fortune. But this is the language that Jesus is using. He says, actually, when you become a Christian, when you have a new heart, you become an heir of the world. You become a ruler with Christ. This is crazy. Look at Ephesians 2 with me. Paul, in another letter, unpacks this really well. He says, God raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Look at that. Raised us up, past tense. It's been done when you accepted Jesus. You've been raised up with him, and you are now seated with him in the heavenly places. You are in that place of ruling and reigning with Christ. So that, verse 7, in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. If only we could see who we really are. If only we could see the world from the perspective that we should. I think we're like Zacchaeus most of the time. We see, you know, we don't see the big picture. We see arms and legs. We see up close. But if we could see who we really were, if we could get up a tree and look down and see everything from God's perspective, that's what he's saying. If you understand who you really are in Christ, if you understand your position in Christ, that you've been raised up with him, and you're seated in heaven, in heavenly places, that's a great spot for change, isn't it? Because first, you can see the long view of things. We're not going to be so reactive to what's going on. We're going to see how things will play out. We'll see how real change actually happens. We'll get the perspective that we are loved, that we are here. Verse 7, it says, to be shown the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Like, we understand that God has poured out his love and his mercy on us. And so when we receive his love, we don't need to fight for things and wrestle with things because we know that we are deeply loved. I reckon the world would be an amazing place if everybody knew that we are loved. Wars would stop. Fighting would cease. Jealousy would be gone. All the things that we argue about and pick about and the petty things that we take up to be causes, they'd just all float away, I reckon, if we really understood the love of God for us. If we really understood that we are safe in him, that we are home, that we are his, that we are dearly loved, if we knew that we knew that we knew that on the inside, the fighting would stop. Don't you long for that sort of on the inside? It's like, I think God likes me. Maybe I don't have to kind of prove myself so much. I think God maybe, he might be proud of me sometimes. Maybe God actually smiles on my life. Wouldn't that be a refreshing thought? But I reckon most of our thoughts are, oh, I haven't done that enough. Oh, I'm such an idiot. Oh, I've got so far to go. Oh. Or is that just me? If I could just understand where I really am, if I could just grasp that I am seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, safe and secure and home and loved, I'd approach life so differently. I wouldn't work so hard. I wouldn't wrestle so much. I don't know what that's like for you, but that just a sense of being able to breathe new life again. That's what Paul's saying. Understand your position and everything changes. That thing you're fighting, that weight you're trying to lose, that exercise regime you're trying to do, the thoughts in your mind you're trying to shift off, I reckon that would just go away. The wrestle. It's how you change the impossible me. My original title for this was Despicable Me because of the movie, but I don't like that word. I wouldn't call myself despicable. I just think impossible. Because there's so much that's impossible inside of us.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. We'd love to get to know you better. Come and visit us at one of our Sunday services in Bathurst, rear of 217 Howard Street. Have a week filled with life.